He is an entrepreneur, he is a business owner, and he has dedicated his life to bettering the lives of others. He's Gabriel McClover. I'm John Bradshaw, and this is Our Conversation. Gabriel, thanks so much for joining me. I appreciate you being here.
Yeah, my pleasure.
A moment ago, I said you've dedicated yourself to bettering the lives of others.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly, how?
Well, we do that in a number of different ways. Now, let me back up a little bit. What has made me passionate about health is, you know, when we started understanding about health principles and I started changing my diet and my lifestyle, I saw that I had family members who were dying from diseases that can easily be reversed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really put a passion, not only myself, but my wife, to start to create different avenues that we can share the things that we've learned. So we started doing different cooking classes and things in our community, and then it just continued to grow. And then I was able to use some different techniques and things I learned from my business background to really start to make a greater impact.
Okay, I want to ask you about entrepreneurialism, what you're doing. I want to ask you about that business background, how you ended up where you are, what you're seeing. I mean, you do this for a reason. What's the reason? The proof surely is in the pudding, so what's the proof? Let's back up. Tell me a little bit about yourself. Where do you come from, and what was life like for you as a young person?
Well, I'm originally from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and I grew up in a Christian home. And we were very, very competitive because we were all involved in sports.
Okay.
My brother played football. He played Division I football. He actually played in NFL for some time.
Played in the NFL.
I played Division I football up in Buffalo, New York. My younger brother played Division I football in down in Florida, at Florida Atlantic.
That's three brothers, all Division I football players.
And then my sister had a Division I scholarship to run track.
Have mercy.
So you can imagine a household with four hyperly competitive individuals.
Oh, yeah.
And my father was very instrumental in our upbringing, teaching us about hard work, and seeing my mom as well. Just hardworking individuals. And it really impacted us.
What position did you play?
I played wide receiver. So you see my big hands.
Hey, how about that?
I like to catch passes.
Division I football. The interesting thing about football in America, if you are fortunate enough, and I'll put it that way, to play in college,
yeah,
unless you're one of the point something or other percent to go to the NFL, it's over after that.
Yeah.
It's over. It's college
really
and then goodbye. You're 22 years old, whatever you are. You're full of energy, and it's... But you got pickleball to look forward to.
That's right. That's right. And that's, you know, in the NFL, and they say NFL stands for not for long, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, you know that this is just the attrition and the hits and things. It's not going to last very long.
No. And a team that does so well at the beginning of the season, what happened to them? Well, they got banged up.
Yep.
So many injuries.
That's
I heard
right.
of some team this season on its fourth quarterback.
That's right.
You got to have a deep depth chart to be able to function on your fourth quarterback.
No question.
When the football days were over, did you miss it?
I missed the environment, the camaraderie, the teamwork, and the games.
Yeah.
Practice, training, not so much.
But
that part of it was something that I missed.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I left college, I got into sales. And so you still had that camaraderie, you still had goals, you still had things, and I had a lot to learn. And so that environment kind of projected over there.
Mm-hmm. So sales, what do you find yourself doing?
So I did everything. My first sales job was a straight commission job. And I was right out of college. My girlfriend at the time, now my wife, she was pregnant. And so I had to really make a choice on following my path with football, because I got injured my senior year. So there was another route for me to potentially Canadian football, those things, or
right.
to go directly into the corporate world.
Now, let me ask you about this. So your brother, it's your older brother.
Yeah, older brother.
So the NFL wasn't an unknown foreign world for you. You'd seen it up close.
That's right.
You saw it. Did you like what you see? You said, I would like to have a crack at that. Or did you see it? How warm were you about it?
When you're training and you have these aspirations when you're younger, you want to have a bite at that apple, to have an opportunity to go to the highest level,
sure.
and to kind of prove yourself. But looking back, I think it was the best thing for me when I got injured, because there was a lot of traps and things that people don't even realize.
Sure.
That when you get into that world that you can be exposed to. And if you, and man, I've seen people get swallowed up. And I am very thankful to God that He put me on a different direction. And I went and started learning different principles, not that I'm now using now,
yeah.
to really further the message of health and to work for God.
So you feel like you had a good education?
Yeah,
You didn't freeze to death up there in Buffalo?
No, Buffalo, New York. We see in recent things, 5 feet of snow. Think about this, Florida, Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, Fort Lauderdale.
It's
beach, sand,
yeah,
sun.
It's hot all year round.
Oh, yeah.
To Buffalo, New York. Now, when I went on my recruiting visit,
oh, yeah.
It was snowing.
Oh, it was.
It was snowing.
And
but
you went
what
back.
I thought was, you know, so I really didn't travel much. I thought Buffalo, New York, and New York City was like right
Same.
Next to each other.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I went out, get up, like, when are we going to New York City? They were like, oh, that's like 6 to 8 hours.
Uh-huh.
Got to go through the Adirondacks, upstate New York, and then you get to New York. I'm like, and then I'm sitting there out the window, and you just look in, and you got homesick, and all you see is snow,
yeah.
5 feet of snow.
And you're basically in Canada.
Right there.
It's
30 minutes from Niagara Falls.
So there you are. You're done with college. You thought about CFL and so forth. Mm-hmm. Got into sales.
Yeah.
Where were you going? Did you know?
I had no clue.
No.
My thought was I wanted to support my family.
Sure.
So my goal was, that was my goal. I didn't know it was going to end up with, you know, the career path. Even what I'm doing now, I would have never thought about that, because some of the companies I work for, I thought I was going to retire. You know,
mm-hmm.
I said, oh man, this is perfect. I have the career path. I have, you know, a career track. I know I'm nowhere I'm going to be, but God just suddenly just took me out of that and did a different direction.
Let's zoom forward and then zoom back.
Mm-hmm.
So today you run a restaurant.
That's right.
Today you help people improve their health.
That's right.
Give me another, in your words, what else are you doing in the area of health?
So we are also doing what we call a healthy taste. Healthy
mm-hmm.
taste is a plant-based veg fest. So being that we're in the restaurant industry, and this is what, we started our restaurant back in 2016 in Somerville, Georgia. And as we would go out to promote our business, we would go to these veg fests.
Yep.
And they're all over the country. They draw tens of thousands of people. And I noticed that their emphasis was primarily on animal rights, activism.
That's right. Sure.
And I'm at the booth there, and I'm like, well, I'm telling people, sharing people that the food that we make is not vegan junk food. This food that actually helps to reverse chronic lifestyle diseases. And people would look at this like, oh, I thought veganism was all about animal rights.
I find it so interesting. I'm a vegan myself, and I find it so interesting when I hear people, what they think vegans are lunatics and activistic, and all they want is to make you stop wearing leather and so forth.
Right.
And I mean, that's cool if that's what people are into, but that's a very narrow slice
of people who are
eating on a plant-based diet for the benefit of their health and even their spiritual health.
That's right.
So you were coming up against that same thing.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm at the event. I'm like, you know, I was like, you know what? I think we can do this event better,
uh-huh.
but focus more on the health
sure.
side of it. So that's where the idea. So the healthy taste, we call it healthy taste because we want people to see the healthier side of eating plant-based. And that's the other thing that we're doing in the community.
And
as
I've been to one of your events,
mm-hmm.
and it was outstanding. And I thought, well, this thing can be 1,000 times bigger.
Oh yeah.
And I hope it is.
Yeah. And you know, that the one that we did, it was started in Knoxville back in 2015, very,
uh-huh.
very small. And then they started growing. And then what I did, I joined the organization last year with the auspices of expanding. So we started in Chattanooga, and it was by faith. You know, we went out and we just like, hey, we're going to do this. We have a mission. This is what we want to do. And it was just by faith. So no financial support, no donations. We just kind of bootstrapped it. And the event came, and I think the estimates were between 4,000 to 5,000 people that came out. We had a kids program. We had almost 800 kids come through there. And now next year when we do it, we plan on it to be a lot bigger. And now we're seeing that not only Chattanooga, you know, we partnered with the YMCA here back in October, and we did Healthy Taste Kids.
Mm.
And we did a plant-based cooking school for the kids. We had over 130-something kids register. Now, I always say, if anybody, you know, is in church and they teach the little, you know, the cradle roll classes in these classes, you will see that dealing with that many amount of people in a short amount of time can be a very really challenging.
Oh yeah.
But by God's grace, we were able to put a beautiful event together, and the YMCA are like, they want to partner with us in the future as well.
Look, and who wouldn't? I just read, maybe I didn't grab, what I read was the headline, the number of people with young people, pre-diabetes,
yep,
going through the roof.
That's right.
This is an absolute crisis.
That's right.
And as you know so well, the vast majority of type 2 diabetes cases don't even need to exist.
That's right.
And can be reversed.
Absolutely.
So why in the world wouldn't you reverse it if you could?
A lot of it is education.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I remember we've worked with people, because we also do a program through our restaurant called the Fit Challenge. And we've worked with several thousand people over the last, since 2016. And when you start talking about type 2 diabetes, and say, yeah, I got type 2 diabetes, this is my blood sugar. And I said, well, okay, well, if we follow these principles, we're very confident that your body is designed to heal itself, and it will heal itself if those conditions are correct. And they're like, no, but, you know, they think it's a life sentence, that they're going to be on insulin and metformin for the rest of their lives.
Oh, there are physicians.
Oh, yeah.
Who will tell you this is a life sentence.
Yeah.
Nothing could be further from the truth. I mean, maybe in a rare case, but type 2 diabetes generally extraordinarily treatable if you adopt the right principles.
Oh, absolutely. And the beautiful thing about it is the literature is starting to come out. You're starting to see so many studies. You know, you got T. Colin Campbell, you got, you know, Dr. Elsasson, you got all these prominent people in that, but you also have other physicians that are starting to say, you know what?
Yeah.
This is real. I cannot deny the results, you know. So we've seen.
Let's back up again. We'll get to this again later. Let's go back to you. So you're making your way. You're out of school. You got a girlfriend and a baby on the way, and you're starting to get involved in sales. But you discovered somewhere along the line that you had a talent here.
Yes.
Started to do quite well. Walk me through some of that.
So naturally introverted. That people ask me, you know, and every personality test I take, I'm like 90% introverted. But I'm extroverted when I need to be. Right.
There you go.
And so when I started developing, I didn't know I had a talent for it. Most of it was necessity, right? When you're up against it and you need to make something happen, stuff come out of you.
You'll find talents you did not know you had.
Oh, yeah. But then as I started, you know, really started learning some of these principles and learning sales principles and sales principles from a Christian perspective.
So sales expertise can be learned.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
You don't have to just be born that way.
Absolutely.
Right.
I look at sales as me presenting information, right? You know, I'm a Christian, and when I'm studying the Bible with somebody, I'm not trying to convince them to do anything. I think, you know, I say, what I'm doing is presenting information, and I'm hoping that you make the right decision. That's
sure.
all I'm doing.
Yeah.
And that's how I look at it when I'm looking at it from a perspective from health. You know, I just present the information, And then from there, I hope people make the right decisions.
Yeah.
So
tell me a little bit about your work experience and some of the environments you found yourself in, some of the experiences you had.
Yeah, so I've worked for 3 Fortune 500 companies in various sales and leadership positions. I've had, you know, and I tell people it's very difficult to be a Christian in some of these environments.
Sure.
You're in a hyper-competitive environment, and when you excel, they kind of puff you up, right? And that can be very, very dangerous from a Christian. So I have excelled in every company that I've worked for. And what I've learned from these three companies, number one, you got, you know, leadership, operations, administration, and sales. But one thing I noticed from every company I worked for was the number one in this industry, right? And I said, man, what is the difference here? Why are you number one and number two? And I remember one exec, I mean, some of these guys are some of the most brilliant business people I ever worked with.
Sure.
He goes, when you're number one, you try to do things that are very difficult, that's hard to replicate. And that always stuck with me. And when I started, you know, doing what we do and being a Christian, I say, you know what? Everything that I do, I wanted to be as close to perfection as possible. So, and my goal is to try to reach the ideal that God wants to have in my business. So that means everything elevates. The quality, the marketing, everything comes up versus that me just saying, hey, I'm okay being number two. I'm okay being number three.
Mm.
I'm trying to do things with excellence. So that's why when people come and people bring us in, I mean, work with organizations with the Fit Challenge. And one thing they said, you guys are incredibly professional. Like, I just want to commend you guys on the professionalism that you guys exhibit, because we've worked with other organizations or different ministries, and we said the professionalism was way, way down. So you can appreciate that.
Is it hard, really, to raise your game and be more professional rather than less professional?
Oh, it's not hard at all. Yeah.
Man, it doesn't always take a lot to raise
your
game.
Just raise it up. And that's the separation of organizations that are successful and not successful, doing that little bit more, just a little bit more to bring the professionalism up, and it goes a long way. And we see that because, you know, with our Fit Challenge, and I know we're going to talk about this a little bit more, Fit Challenge, we deal with a lot of people who are wealthy.
Yeah.
You know, we have done deliveries to homes that are, you know, it's a compound right here in this area. And you come in there with a paper bag that's got a stain on it and things like this. And, hey, this is your delicious plant-based food here. And the presentation is not there. Even when my wife makes her meals, it's just beautifully put together. And it looks aesthetically pleasing. And people eat it and they just like, they compliment, wow, that food looks amazing.
Yeah.
The presentation, everything is in nicely.
It's not snobbery. It's human nature.
That's right.
It's human nature.
That's right.
You cared enough about me to bring something that I'm not going to look sideways at.
That's right.
You know, you obviously care enough about you to do something that reaches a certain standard.
No question about it. Yeah. No question about it. And that's the key. And I think what we do in our organizations is, you know, with Healthy Taste and all these things kind of they coalesce together.
Sure.
But we make sure that professionalism is at a point. And guess what? You try your best, and then you sit back and you say, okay, how can we be better?
Yeah.
We're not satisfied. You know, we were in Arizona, and we had did this homeless dinner, and I was talking to some young people, and I said, and they were really excited for what we did. And I said, that's great. I said, but guess what? People are still hungry today.
Yeah.
Like right now as we're talking, the same people we fed yesterday is hungry. So what am I telling you is turn the page, right? We turn the page, we learn, we take those principles, the things that we did well, let's improve upon it, and let's continue to move forward and not worry about what we did in the past, but continue to press forward.
You were experiencing success in the business world.
Yes.
Big companies.
Yes.
You realistically could have looked forward to a long life of great success in the business world. Would have been nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Unless, of course, you perceived it was harming you spiritually, in which case you'd do this or that. But Daniel managed to survive.
That's right.
Joseph, they both survived in some pretty challenging environments.
Mm-hmm.
But you looked at this thing and you could have said, hey, God has blessed me here. Let's just ride the train and do well and use our influence. That'd be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But you didn't do that.
No.
Tell me why not.
Well.
Or tell me how and why not.
Well, I can tell you why I looked at that. And we you know, I was going to take over a $52 million sales organization, literally. And I became a Christian, an Adventist Christian specifically. And I realized, and I started looking at my family, and I said, you know what? I'm not spending as much time as I need to. And I have six children, right? So now I have six. And I'm looking at this, I'm like, I need to really put my energy into what's important, which is our family.
If you'd put your energy into what someone might describe as providing for your family,
mm-hmm.
not a thing anyone could say against it.
Yeah.
You could have held your head up high. But one day, God is going to say, where's your flock, your little flock that I've given you?
And that's what that was.
Maybe you could pull it off. Man, that's hard.
Yeah.
Real successful people spend a lot of time away. Real successful people got to dedicate themselves to doing what they're
doing.
That's right. It's, I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm not criticizing anybody who would have chosen a different route. But clearly you looked at what you perceived was best for your family.
That's right. And that was the key. It was, I spent hours and hours on the road. I'm on the phone. I'm saying goodnight. And I'm like, I'm missing all of these experiences. You know, they're only young a certain amount of time. You know, my oldest is 16. I mean,
no,
you got a year and a half.
Your oldest is gone.
Yeah, she's going to go college.
College.
And now life is there. You
That's
know,
it.
And you're like, what was more important?
Oh man,
for me to go and being incredibly successful in the business world, or to spend more time in our family?
Yeah.
And what I've learned is when God decided, you know, as we prayerfully made that decision, God didn't take those talents and just throw them to the side. He says, I'm going to take those talents and I'm going to use them in a different way.
Thank you for mentioning that. I was about to say that very same thing. You're at the place now where you say, How many more Thanksgivings do we have with our oldest daughter?
Yeah.
Maybe two.
Yeah.
And maybe more.
Maybe more.
Maybe
but
two.
Realistically.
And then you go, well, as a family, how many?
Yeah.
So that time is so, so, so limited. But as you said, thank God you didn't jettison all that he taught you. You said, God said, hang on to that. I got maybe even bigger plans.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even bigger plans. Yeah. All right. We're going to talk about some of those plans in just a moment. With Gabriel McClover, I'm John Bradshaw. I'm glad you're here for our conversation. Brought to you by It Is Written. Welcome to Line Upon Line, brought to you by It Is Written. Here at Line Upon Line, we get to answer your Bible questions. Was it God's plan for sin to enter the world?
Does that mean that evil spirits exist in human beings?
How should we as Christians treat people with different sexual orientations?
Is the building of a temple necessary before Jesus returns?
I'm struggling with my flesh. I surrendered and failed. Am I lost? That's a good question. And I think we've got a pretty good answer for you here.
And that's really what God wants. God just doesn't want us to be healthy. He wants us to also be happy.
Let's not spend any more time wondering. Let's instead channel our energy towards believing. It's good to dig into the Bible.
Absolutely.
Where do we begin? This has been Line Upon Line, brought to you by It Is Written. Welcome back to Conversations, brought to you by It Is Written. My guest is Gabriel McClover, successful in business, and he's shifted, following the leading of God, now still successful, doing something a little different, and oriented around the message of good health. So let's talk about your transition from business into a health focus, using your energies in a different way for the benefit of people. How big a step of faith was that? Or were you like, yeah, we got this?
No, it was definitely a step of faith. We were in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and me and my family got together and we were praying. We said, Lord, we desire to spend more time together as a family, and we wanted to get out of the city and get more into a rural area.
Sure.
So we were praying, and the Lord, and we just was got so tired of looking at all of these real estate sites, and we just started praying, Lord, just send us where you need us. And within 6 months, we landed in Somerville, Georgia. Mm. And then from there, I had a passion for agriculture. I wanted to figure out a way to be self-sustainable in the country, growing my own food. So I went to an agricultural conference, and which I'm now on the board at that agriculture conference, and started to really understand growing food. So we just started growing all of this food. And then we were doing cooking classes and things in the community. Like,
hold on. Before you get too far ahead of here, do you have any background with gardening?
Absolutely not.
So you went from stop to go, from woe to go.
Let me tell you.
Suddenly overnight you're growing your own food. You're out in the garden with your boots on.
And I remember, you know, I'm training the tomatoes. And I'm like, Lord, why didn't you pull me out of corporate America a long time ago? Because I was really enjoying what I was doing.
Oh, you will, yeah.
I was enjoying the gardening. I had no clue what I was doing, right? I played football in college. I wore a suit every day for 10 years. And all of a sudden I'm out in the rural, in the country. I don't know how to do anything. I can tell you stories of stupid things I did in the country.
No doubt. You'd
just be cracking up. But then I just enjoyed it so much. And we were doing, at that time, we were doing a lot of health ministries in the community. Like, I mean, people didn't even know who we were, but we were doing reversing diabetes seminars because the passion was there. Because as we started learning these things and started applying to my life, because I went plant-based like cold turkey.
Mm.
Like, I didn't hear any, I watched a documentary. I was right in the middle of my corporate experience. And I watched, and I just immediately said, I told my wife, they're trying to kill me. It's like, what do you mean? I'm like, this food, I'm like, I need to, and I ate rice and beans for 2.5 years. I didn't even know, like, the stuff we serve in our restaurant, I had no clue it existed. And then over time, my wife, she looked at me and she's like, because she saw I was losing weight, and then my mind cleared up, and then I was able to, I call it a recall button. So in my sales presentations, I'm sitting there, and I used to have to take meticulous notes just to remember what happened. But then when I started changing my diet, I can literally replay the whole conversation in my mind. So it was a huge spike in the amount of success I had because I changed my diet.
That's really interesting.
And I had no clue about the health implications of it. I was doing it mainly for, wait a minute, I just don't want to eat that. I'm going to eat something that I feel is safe. But then over time, I started learning about more of a plant-based diet. I started studying our bodies and how it works and how if we work with our bodies, that healing can take place. And then we started teaching those things. And then my wife would do these amazing cooking classes. They would taste the food and they were like, this is vegan, this is plant-based. And then they're like, you should open a restaurant. And now, mind you, we're like, never had any restaurant. I sold a restaurant, sold high-end hotels. I did a lot of things, but I never ran a restaurant. And then their opportunity came in town. There was a family that owned a health food store, and they said, you want to work with us to open a restaurant? Now, at that time, I was like, well, let's do it, right? And I was like, let's do it. And the overhead was so low. I'm like, I can make mistakes for, you know, 3 years and be okay. Yeah, it was only like $500 bucks a month to run a restaurant, and it was already a pre-existing restaurant. So not a lot of this upfront cost that now that when you have to build out a restaurant. So that's how we got into the restaurant business.
And you were aware when you did that the failure rate for restaurants is through the roof.
That's right.
But you said, okay, we can do this.
Now, mind you, we're in a little small town, 4,000 population.
But you're doing, what kind of restaurant? This is a plant-based
restaurant? This is a plant-based restaurant.
If you told me you're doing a plant-based restaurant in San Francisco, Santa Cruz, Monterey, even New York City, even Atlanta.
Yeah.
But a little redneck town.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm making an assumption there, but a little redneck town.
Yeah, 4,000 meat and potatoes. People. Yeah, and, you know, they thought when we opened up, they literally thought we served grass on a plate.
Oh, yeah.
And people say, why would you do that? That's foolish. And
why would you do that?
And I said, this is my answer there. I said, sometimes God takes the foolish things to confound the wise.
Yeah.
We saw it was God's providence for us to do this. And I can tell you, if it wasn't for the experience that I had in the business side, we would have failed. And so we're very, so I do business coaching. I try to tell, because that information, those fundamental of leadership, operation, administration, and sales is so fundamental to the success of a business. And if you don't have a good, you may have a great recipe, you may have food that tastes good, but if you're not marketing, if people don't know where you're at, if you're not counting the money, if you don't have a operations, you don't have all these things in place, you can fail very, very quickly, not only in a restaurant, but any industry.
Yeah.
So
I'm really happy to hear that you're able to go to a small town, an unlikely town with an unlikely clientele and make a success, because you're not just selling food, but you're showing people a better way of life and ultimately helping people to see Jesus through new eyes.
That's right.
And so two things. If you can do it there, then it can be done in other places.
Oh, yeah.
But secondly, I mean, any turkey can open a restaurant, but not anyone can run a business. And so I think I'm hearing almost a cautionary word.
Oh, yeah.
If you're going to do it, you got to know what you're doing.
You got to know.
I don't think
that
means you need to be Warren Buffett or Bill Gates or some titan of industry, but you got to have a head on your shoulders and understand there are certain principles you need to follow.
No question about it. You got to have a it can be a ministry, but we have to be profitable, right?
Answer me this. Years ago, I was shocked as I spoke to a guy I'd met who was running a health food restaurant. If I mentioned the brand name, many people would recognize, oh, yeah, we remember those. He said, we're closing the restaurant. I said, what are you closing the restaurant for? He said, we're closing the restaurant because we want to do ministry.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was so consuming. It took up so much time. It was so suffocating.
Oh, yeah.
That, I mean, the reason he did it in the first place was to share Jesus. Now he said, we're doing this and we're not sharing Jesus. Now we don't have time to share Jesus.
Ooh.
How do you avoid that trap? I don't fault anyone here. So how do you avoid that?
We fell into that trap, right? Yeah. So we went in there and we were trying to compete with different, you know, restaurants that are out there.
Right.
And then I started looking at it. I'm like, wait a minute, we can't compete with them. And they're like, what do you mean? Because the busiest day in a restaurant is Friday night. And we happen to be Seventh-day Adventist, so we close Friday night to Saturday. So that's the busiest time in a restaurant. So I'm like, we can't compete with that. So we have to have a different model. So what I understood from a business perspective, that in a successful restaurant, you need to control food costs, and you need to control labor.
Sure.
So, and then I started doing market research in our area, and I saw that everybody in our town needed to go to a lifestyle center, but one, they couldn't afford it. Now, a lifestyle center is places like Wildwood and, you know, several thousand dollars to go to these places. Now, in our town, we're right below the poverty line. So people can't afford to go there, even though they need it. And most people, if they could afford it, they can't take off 2 weeks or a week or to go and get detox. So
right.
I said, wait a minute, there's a problem in the market, because what entrepreneurs are, they're problem solvers. And I said, How can we take our what we do and then create a solution? So that's where we created what we call now the FIT Challenge.
Tell me about this.
So FIT Challenge, it stands for Food Inspiring Total Transformation. So we use food as an entering wedge in people's life to inhibit total transformation. So people think, oh, it's just food. But no, we actually have, we also deal with the physical, the mental, and the spiritual through that program.
But you're telling that 300-pound lady who's all her life eaten the food that people living just below the poverty line eat. But you're telling her, hey, lady, we're going to intervene in your life to bring about total transformation.
That's right.
Does she want that?
You know, that's where sales comes in, right?
Okay.
So
And does she understand that?
That's where sales comes in, right?
All right.
So I understand from the sales proposition, you know, you have somebody who is in need of your product,
yeah.
right? But now you have to present information for them to make that transition.
Yeah, and you gotta and they've got to understand that they need that product.
They need it, right? So I may think they need it, but you got to help them understand that they need it. So how do you make people change what they've been doing their whole life?
Yeah.
You make it very real. You talk about, you know, number one, you give them hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like, hey, I have diabetes, type 2 diabetes, my blood sugar's getting out of control, having all these other different, I'm starting to lose blind, I'm losing my eyesight, my foot, and I said, you know, and then I look at them and I said, you do know that that can be overcome. And they're like, what do you mean? So now I got their attention.
Yeah.
And then I go through a sales process. I do health consultations. I didn't realize it. I had some people working with us, and they're like, every time somebody comes in your office to do a health consultation, they end up signing up for the program. What in the world are you telling these people? And I'm like, what am I saying? So I started to write things, but it was the same process that I taught six-figure sales rep.
So you didn't even know.
I didn't even know it.
Where it wasn't.
It was just so natural for me.
So you didn't have the 6 points. If I get them to point number five,
nope.
I got them. You're sharing with them.
I was just sharing with them, and I didn't realize the things that I was teaching that I taught in the corporate world, six-figure sales reps, that I was actually applying to a health consultation. So my close ratio was like 95%.
Mm.
Because everybody, if you're sick, and I have a solution, there's no reason why you shouldn't do the program.
Right.
And we saw a tremendous amount of success, but that was me sitting down with some 2,000-something people that we've worked with. I sat down with every last one of them and did health consultation with every last one of these people. And this was one thing I always say. I said, what is your why? And I'll sit back and go, what do you mean? I said, why are you doing the program? Why are you even interested? Why are we sitting here? Well, because I want to lose some weight. And I said, well, all due respect, that's not good enough. And they're looking like, what do you mean? I said, what happens if you lose those 5-6 pounds?
Right.
What's going to keep you on track? And they started thinking, they were like, and I'll never forget this one lady. And I used to have fun with people, and we're going back and forth. And this one lady, she was an older lady, and she's just like, I just want to lose some weight. And she was getting, and then all of a sudden she got serious. And tears started coming down her. She goes, well, I know, I have a good one. She goes, my granddaughter. And she started crying. My granddaughter wants me to live till I'm 100 years old. And she just started crying uncontrollably. And I'm like, that's your why.
That's it.
So I'm like, when you go through our 10-day challenge, because we start off with a 2-day juice detox that we deliver to their home or business daily. We deliver all through Northwest Georgia, through Chattanooga. We deliver to your home or business. So we make it very easy. You don't have to go anywhere. We're going to fit the FIT challenge into your life.
Nice.
And so that, and I said, you drink an incredible amount of coffee and you're a lot of sugar. I said, you're going to go through detox. Full disclosure. 2-day juice, we're going to help you through these juices, but I'm going to let you know, you're going to have some withdrawals. But I said, but now you get to weigh it in the balance. Do I want to be there when my granddaughter walks down the aisle? Or do I want to eat the Snicker bar? And that makes it real for people.
A well-known figure who went through a real major and noticeable health transformation. I believe I remember him saying, he wanted to walk his daughter down the aisle.
Yes.
That'll get you. Yeah. And you know, when you get to my age and you got friends who are dropping dead of heart attacks.
It's real.
From my childhood.
Yeah.
This kid, what's he doing dying of a heart attack? Well, a guy I went to high school with. He's driving up the hillside talking to his daughter on the phone. Daddy has a heart attack while he's on the phone.
Mercy.
Oh, yeah. The guy was in his 40s. Had a heart attack and died.
Mercy.
On the phone with his daughter. No criticism. Who knows why? But listen, man, we know why.
Yeah. And
that's the why.
And that reminds me of a story of somebody was going through our, 10-day challenge, our FIT challenge. Really excited about working with this guy. He comes to the restaurant. We do a health consultation. He's really excited. And he goes, I'm ready to do it. He goes, but I want to wait a few weeks because I'm going on a trip. I want to eat. I really want to indulge. And I'm like, and his daughter was like, come on, Dad. And And I was so really, I was really excited working with these guys. So the kickoff meeting happens. We bring everybody into the restaurant. We do this kickoff meeting. So we had a lot of people in the room, and we're doing this meeting. But I was really looking forward to working with this family. So I send them a text and say, "Hey, if you're here, don't worry. Just come in, and we'll catch up on everything." And then as I'm going through, and on my presentation, I had a slide that said, "Prevention is better than cure."
Oh yeah.
And then my phone just vibrates. I looked at my phone, and it was a daughter. She goes, "We won't be able to make it. My dad just had a massive heart attack, and we rushed him to the hospital." So that strikes me. That hit me so hard because, like, we could have helped. Like, I'm not saying it would have changed anything, but we know the body will heal itself if you give it the right conditions.
Yeah.
And what we were going to do, and I don't know if it would have did anything, but to knowing that, you know, so I tell people, don't delay.
Don't delay.
Don't delay. We have one life. And I remember we were at this convention. We worked with this guy. He has his big building supply company. He's helped him lose, like, you know, 20, 30, 40 pounds. One of his workers reversed his diabetes. So he's like, "Man, I just believe what you do. I'm doing this tool convention. I want you to set up a booth." I'm like, "I don't have any tools," right? He goes, just come and tell people about it." And I'm sitting there, and this guy comes up, and he was a Christian guy, and he gets there.
You're exhibiting at a building supply
store. A building supply store about health. Okay. And he was like, he comes up, he goes, "Oh, what are you selling here?" I said, I'm doing God's plan in health. That's what I'm selling." And he's like, "What is that?" And I started telling him. He goes, "Man," he goes, and he just started going off. "I want to, you know, eat with this and they, what, it doesn't matter what happens. You're going to die at any time." He just was going off on me.
Yeah.
And I said, "You're a Christian." He goes, "So what do you say to that?" Just like that. And I said, "Are you a Christian, right?" He goes, "I am." I said, "What does the Bible say?" And I said, "Let's go to Ecclesiastes 7:17. And we started reading, and I said, "What does this last sentence says?" It says, "Why shouldest thou die before thy time?" And I said, "God may have called you to reach somebody when you're in your 80s, but your lifestyle choices put you in the grave at 60. And then there's a thing in sales, you say, just, you know, be silent, just be quiet.
Oh, yeah.
Let it marinate a little bit. And then he sat there for a few minutes, and he's like, "Fine, I'll do the program. Fine, just like that. Fine, yeah, I'll do it. You got me." I said, "I didn't get you." I said, "The word of God got you."
Yeah.
So that was, and we see that over and over again, right?
So you started the Fit Challenge in a unlikely place.
Yeah.
And you've seen it really take off.
Yeah.
What's the impact you're seeing? We'll just take a few seconds now and come back after the break. What's the impact that you're seeing in your local community? And I know you could answer this from a variety of angles.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look at our grocery store, like, you know, the grocery store is totally transformed. It was a food desert, you know, and we have a local grocery store there. We went there. It was literally no any type of organic, no plant-based stuff there. And all of a sudden, we started seeing more and more. And then one of our customers that works with us, she went to the manager, and she's like, why are you got all this plant-based food?" And she goes, "There's some guy doing this. There's this restaurant in town doing all these cooking classes, and these people come in there, and they're demanding that we order this stuff.
How about
so
that?
We have to order it." And so that's why we're seeing. That's the biggest change that we've seen.
Hey, now that's a big deal. What you're seeing is you set out to do something, and you are materially impacting your society.
That's right.
Your community.
That's right.
You know, when that's happening, when the supermarket is changing, and you didn't go petition them, but there's a groundswell. We need better food.
That's right.
Yeah, that's outstanding. Okay, there's more. There's more. We'll get to it too. We'll get to it in a moment. I'm encouraged by this. Very exciting to hear what's taking place. This is Conversations. I'll be back with more with Gabriel McClover in just a moment. Conversations, as you know, is brought to you by It Is Written.
More than 5 million people in the United States currently live with dementia. Almost 50 million people around the world. And numbers are rising. Many people live in fear, wondering if they'll be next. If there was something you could do to combat cognitive decline, you'd want to know. Don't miss part one of Preventing Cognitive Decline, brought to you by It Is Written. Author and international speaker Dr. Wes Youngberg lets you know that there is hope in the battle for the mind. Sharing solid science and the results of comprehensive research, Dr. Youngberg provides reliable advice that has seen many people turn back the advance of dementia. Dementia impacts individuals, families, communities, and it kills. Don't miss Preventing Cognitive Decline and learn what you can do to give yourself the best chance at a bright tomorrow. Preventing Cognitive Decline on It Is Written.
Welcome back to Conversations, brought to you by It Is Written. My guest is Gabriel McClover. Gabriel, you've started the Fit Challenge.
Yes.
You've mentioned a restaurant in a town that you said that was a food desert.
That's right.
How's the restaurant going?
Restaurant is going well, you know, and the main thing, well, we just had what we call a once in a 500-year flood that happened in our town. So we know that when things happening, you know, good things are happening, sometimes trials may come.
Sure.
But when it happened, it was a testament to even our community. You know, we saw our community members rally and want to see us reopen. And we had people come out. We had this work bee came out and cleaned the restaurant out. So we see the positive impact that we had on the restaurant. And what we've seen, like COVID-19 was something that was very difficult on restaurants.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
And
so you operated during that, of course.
Yeah. So COVID happened and we're at the beginning of the year, here comes March, and they're saying that you have to shut down.
Mm.
And the world was shutting down and we were like, oh, we got rent, we have our mortgage, like what's gonna happen here? And we just like, okay, Lord, this is your work and we're just gonna put our hands off and see what happens. So the Fit Challenge side actually exploded because one of the things that they allowed during the lockdown was food delivery.
Yes.
And so when restaurants was trying to figure out a food delivery model, we've been doing it for 3 years.
Mm.
So we were able to be ahead of the game. And during that time, and we started traveling the country. We went to 22 states during COVID doing in-home cooking classes.
Fantastic.
We were doing Bible studies and we were coming in and say, hey, you know, we have this food delivery. You know, what's the best way to deal with COVID? Let's talk about boosting our immune system.
Come on now.
Let's talk about preparing our body to deal with any type of virus, let alone the COVID. And they're like, really? And so we came with the message, hey, you're going to do all these Uber Eats and DoorDash and all these different things, and they're going to bring you junk food that's going to lower your immune system. How about you order from us, where now we're going to help boost your immune system. So when you do go to that store, your immune system is going to be strong. And we just started. We went all over the country, and people were excited. And so we'll come in and we'll say, hey, part of our module for our Fit Challenge is an in-home cooking class. Would you like us to do an in-home cooking class? We can wear a mask. We can social distance. And they're like, come on in. And we had some of the most powerful opportunities to witness the people during that time. So we just praise the Lord because he saw it before we can ever, you know.
I'm so glad to hear you say that, because God's biblical health message,
yeah,
is a message all about strengthening your immune system.
That's right.
And I'm not trying to say that's the only thing a person should do about COVID. You figure that out yourself. I'm not here to tell you what to do. But the very least we ought to be doing,
that's right,
is taking care of our health. COVID was a message to everybody. You have one immune system. You better take care of that thing.
No question.
And put yourself in the best possible place to fight illness.
No question.
So at this restaurant, in a little, I called it a redneck town.
Yeah,
and I mean, no disrespect by that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, a typical old southern,
that's right,
little old southern town. What do you serve?
So we do.
It's on the menu.
The beautiful thing is what we actually, the food that we grow, yeah, we produce in our restaurant. So again, food costs, right?
Yeah.
So if you're growing your own food, if I got a cucumber that they come like crazy in your garden and I can able to juice it, and I had a carrot and an apple and I'm selling that for $8 for, yeah, juice, our profitability went up tremendously, yeah, because we grow our own food. So we do a lot of, we do juices, we do smoothies. And my wife also does dishes that meet people where they're at. So,
yeah,
we'll have like a you know, some type of burger and we have like some type of cheesesteak. But we also have other dishes that lend more towards healthy food. Like most time you go to a vegan restaurant, you have what I call vegan junk food. You have,
sure,
you get your sandwich, you get your burger, you get you some fries, you get you some nuggets. But we also, my wife does vegetable lasagna. She does, you know, different spaghetti and meatballs. It's probably one of the most popular things that she does. And everything is plant-based. And our meatballs are made from chia seeds, right? So they taste amazing. So people go through our 10-day challenge, and they're getting the same food. And they're like, these meatballs are amazing. This is not real meat. And then all of a sudden, they're losing weight because they don't realize that for every meatball, it's probably like 8 grams of fiber in them.
Yep.
So their fiber is going up, which is one of the main things to do to reverse diabetes. They're getting their fiber up, and the food tastes amazing. Like, I remember the first 10-day challenge we ever did, and this is a quick story. We went through first 10-day challenge. We had so many trials during that program. Like, there was a point we couldn't even make purchases. Our cards weren't working. Air conditioning broke in the restaurant. Somebody had a 10-day challenge daughter literally went missing during the program.
Mm.
We're praying like every single day. The guy who comes, he was going to fix the air conditioning. And we're like, praying. Now, this is July and humid in Northwest Georgia. It was humid. And he puts his car in park And then as soon as he put his car in park, it was like a boom, and all the power on our side of the street went out. And we were like, oh, we literally were crying. We got to pray. And we were on our knees. We prayed. And then we were like, we did the program. We were like, we're never. And then the results were amazing. People losing weight. Their diabetes were being reversed. We saw people's cholesterol drop. And then after they left, we were like, we're never doing that again. It was too much. It was draining. We're like, we're never doing that again.
Mm.
But then the newspaper found out what we were doing. They interviewed some of the participants. And then so in the headline of Somerville News, Veggie Diet is Success. Restaurant puts people on a plant-based diet. And they started putting all the results. So the phone started ringing. It's like, when are you going to do your next program? And I was like, we're probably not going to do that again. My wife's like, it was too soon. And then the Lord sent our neighbor. Our neighbor comes in the restaurant. And she goes, I didn't know vegetables can do that. She goes, I have diverticulitis, and I can't even go and sit in church without running to the bathroom. She goes, can you help me? And I was like, well, you know, we're thinking about it, you know. She goes, well, I'm just letting you know. And this is her exact words. If I don't find a solution for this, I just want to die.
Mm.
And I was like, I looked at my wife, and I'm like, we got to do the program
again. Gotta do it.
And so we've been doing programs every single month, except for Christmas. I always say nobody want to be healthy when Santa Claus is in town. But in January, that's when everything starts to kick up. So this is our busiest time of the year.
Fantastic. You're encouraged by what you're seeing?
I am.
Yeah.
By God's grace, we're pressing on a move.
Yeah. So you got the restaurant,
mm-hmm.
Fit Challenge. Tell me about this meal delivery thing.
So the meal delivery is part of the Fit Challenge.
Yeah.
So we deliver two meals a day, lunch and dinner. We make recommendations for breakfast. Everybody who goes to our Fit Challenge gets assigned their own personal health coach, which is virtual health coaches. And these are coaches that have been through a lot of, they understand lifestyle principles. It's like Wildwood. We'll have coaches from there and from all over the world. We have coaches in France, and they'll connect with people, personal experience. So they'll have their own health consultation, the coaches holding them accountable. And one of the things that I think that makes our program more successful is the coaching aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tell people, I said, listen, when you're younger, you have accountability to your parents, right?
Yeah, right.
But once you get now you're an adult, you can pretty much do whatever you want. If you want to go and get 3 gallons of ice cream and sit and eat it, you can do that. But to have that level of accountability, knowing that I'm going to have a call with a coach here in an hour, and they're going to ask me, did I exercise?
Yeah.
That level of accountability helps people be more successful.
No question about it. You know, a program without accountability, man, you can anticipate that the success level is going to plunge.
Oh, no question.
Anybody holding your feet to the fire.
That's right.
You know, and providing that encouragement that you need. So the person who gets on board with the Fit Challenge, you're delivering food. You said you delivered kind of far.
Yeah.
Not just across the street.
Yeah.
You
so
delivered a good
within
distance.
Our restaurant, we deliver within an hour radius from our restaurant here in Northwest Georgia. But when we go, so we'll partner with organizations, different churches. They will bring us in and say, hey, we have a problem in our community with health, and we like your program. Can you actually do that program over here? And so that's what we do a lot of. We say, okay, if we can find a commercial environment, and a lot of churches have a commercial kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So we come there, we come with our licenses and our insurance, and we're able to make the meals. We bring a team out there to deliver the meals, and we do in-home cooking, and we get church members involved, which is the key.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we get church members involved with delivering food, doing in-home cooking classes, and we train them, and they go in and be involved. And
so you're delivering me food.
Yep.
I open the box.
Mm-hmm.
What's in it?
So we have lunch and dinner. So the lunch is dependent on what day it is. So
we start off with
our diet is pretty specific. We meet people where they're at. We don't want to give them an impression of plant-based food that it's not.
I don't want you sending me a celery stick and a carrot stick and a leaf.
That's what I tell people. I could put you on salad for 10 days. I'm sure you'll lose weight and you'll feel better. But as soon as that 10 days is over, you're running trying to get some food. So it's meals that, so you get vegetable lasagna, you get spaghetti and meatballs. My wife does a Thai curry dish. She does.
Hold on a minute.
A vegetable Thai curry.
You're helping me to lose weight.
With spring rolls.
You're sending me a Thai curry with spring rolls.
With spring rolls in it.
Hold on. Everybody want to get in on that.
That's what I'm saying.
Who does not want to get healthy eating Thai curry and spring rolls?
That's the key to the program.
Man.
My wife's, his Lord has really blessed her to make plant-based food taste incredible.
That's wonderful.
And that's the secret. I told my wife, I was like, I can sell it, but if the food don't taste good, I don't care. They're not coming back. I don't care what restaurant you have.
Yeah, that's correct.
If the food don't taste good, nobody's coming back.
That's right.
But people they're so, and they look at all these simple ingredients that my wife's like, how did you make that from that?
Come
to the cooking class.
So
we do a community cooking class during that 10-day period, and then we invite the whole community out. They say, it's free. Bring the whole community out. We do a cooking class. And then we still do an individual cooking class with the participants, but the group cooking class is a I call it a commercial because I'm a salesperson.
Sure.
They got to say it, always be closing, ABC.
Yeah.
So they come and we're like, hey, this is it. We do a presentation. We're like, hey, we do the Fit Challenge. Anybody in here is going through the Fit Challenge, we'd like to give a testimony. And usually it's around day 7. And day 7, everybody's feeling amazing. I mean, everything. So they're like, oh, man, the food is great and da-da-da-da. If you guys are interested in signing up for the program, come see me. And we get a good, conversion rate from our cooking classes.
Yeah, yeah.
But people need to see it, right? And they need to taste it. And they said, that tastes good. I saw it. I'm seeing people, and I can do this. And I want this experience in my life.
So eating, I hate to put it this way, but eating God's way, in a way that really looks after you and it feeds you and grows you and helps you to get well and healthy. I mean, it can be done.
Oh yeah, and my wife likes to specialize it, because you got to think about it. People are from all types of all places on the planet, especially in the United States.
Yeah.
We were in Houston, Texas, and Houston, Texas is like a melting pot.
Melting pot.
And so my wife would actually create dishes that are specific to people's culture.
Oh yeah.
So think about it. If I'm Indian cuisine, and they use the different spices and things like that, and I'm giving you a lentil loaf with no salt, no nothing, and I'm saying, hey, this is going to help you reverse your diabetes.
Yeah.
So now not only am I going to try and change your diet, but I'm also trying to change your culture as well.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So if I'm able to give you meals that you're used to, that your culture is, you know, hey, and they're able to see a result, it makes them stick to it.
I don't know if you know this, but in heaven, Indians will be in charge of food prep.
Oh.
Did you know that?
I did not know that.
No, it's in the Bible.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, I'm kidding. Someone take it seriously. Ooh, Indian food. No, you're right, though.
Yeah.
You got to take it. Ethiopian food.
Yeah. I've had it and I was like, this is a different type. It's a different type of good.
It's
like
so
everyone
good.
Is a different type of good.
So good.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So you're mailing this food out. You're delivering this food to people.
We deliver it to them. Like go and deliver daily to their home or business.
Another big plus there is a personal touch. You're establishing relationships.
That's right. So people ask me, say, hey, you know, you can just put that stuff in, you can freeze it and ship it. But I'm like, That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to build relationships.
Yeah.
So when I go like that lumber company that I did I delivered meals to him every single day, and every single day I'm like, how was it? How you feeling? And I remember I told him, I said, hey, this thing is scaling. I said, I want to get your opinion as a business person. I said, this thing is scaling. We have a lot of demand for this Fit Challenge. And he goes, Gabe, whatever you do, do not lose the personal touch.
Mm.
He says, because you know about my family, you know about you know about me, you know, and that's the key to your program that separates it. So yes, it's more difficult. Like I said, if you want to be the top in the industry, you got to do something difficult.
That's right.
So yes, our margins are a little bit smaller because we're delivering daily, but that's not our ultimate goal. Our ultimate goal is building relationships for the kingdom. And as we interact with these people, they're asking us for prayer, for Bible studies. You know, I can't tell you how many people, even though we've dealt with people who are atheists, agnostic, don't have no Christian background, but yet at the end of the program, we respect them during the program. And at the end of the program, one guy, he was like, Gabe, I can't, I don't know how you do it. He goes, man, I took this program. I feel great. My blood pressure down. But like, this world is like, so, oh, I can't. I turn on the TV. This is like right during the political season, right? And everything. He goes, I just can't. I get anxiety every time I turn the TV on. He said, how do you do it? And I said, since you asked.
Yeah.
And then I started doing, you know, God removes kings and sets up kings. I don't worry about this. Only thing, you know, and he just was like, wow. And this was an atheist guy who didn't believe that there was any God, but he asked me. And now we're the best friend. Every program he comes, he's the front row, right in the front row. And he still considers himself atheist, even though he's reading the Bible. But I just praise the Lord for the amount of influence the Lord has allowed us to have.
You're a businessman, a salesperson, mm-hmm. an entrepreneur. You're a Christian.
Yes.
You're all about good health.
Yeah.
As you looked into the future, you did not anticipate you getting to wherever you are right now and plateauing.
Mm.
You looked into the future and you saw what?
I see what we're, you know, so plateauing. So we're at like, okay, how can we grow? How can we spread?
And what does that look like?
And so that's what the healthy taste gives us an avenue to do that. So what we want to do, like we're going to be up in Michigan this year, and we're going to run four Fit Challenges up in Rochester, Detroit, Michigan area. And we're going to do four Fit Challenges, and we're going to do a healthy taste.
Nice.
So we're working with the church there, and we're going to look at, and it's a church plant. They're trying to, and we're going to see the impact of what this looks like from a different perspective. Because as we do our program, we see that people want to study the Bible with us. Like 70% of the people say, hey, listen, I've seen the impact. And we're very respectful. We just sprinkle a little Bible and we pull back out. We don't throw up on people. And they're just like, you said something. And in the survey, I said, would you like to learn more about health through the Bible? And people say yes. And we're able to study with these people, and it's a blessing. So I see that our goal for Healthy Taste is to have one of these events in every major city in the United States. And then with that, we're going to come with the Fit Challenge. And what we're doing is we're trying to actually create a network where we can actually plant restaurants in cities, working with schools and organizations. We're working with Wildwood Health Institute. They're going to be helping us with the project in Detroit. So we're really excited about the scalability of this, because again, if COVID locks the world down again, one thing that people need to do.
Oh yeah,
they need to eat.
They need to eat.
And so that's what we want to do.
And at a time where people are concerned about their health, they're open to the idea of thinking about good health.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So really excited.
Fantastic, man. It seems to me the sky's the limit.
Yes.
Yeah. And God is undoubtedly with you in this.
Yeah.
And it's a blessing.
Yeah.
If you had a chance to say to one person, or to say to one person one thing, this is an unfair question, but if there was an opportunity to say one thing, this might not be the only one thing, but if there was something, this is a quick encounter, you're going to leave somebody with a gem, some encouragement about their health, what would it be?
Specifically about your health, I know that from a mental standpoint, health really starts there. So what I tell people, I ask people legacy. I said, what your life, when you die, what do you want people to say about you? I said, and I like to say, average lifespan in the United States, 78 years old.
Mm.
How old are you?
Mm.
So if you have, say, 20 years left, mm-hmm. How do you want to be remembered? I said, people are still being talked about because they made an impact on this world. Let's make an impact on this world. And in order to do that, we need to be in good health, even as our soul prospers. God says, I wish above all things thou mayest be in health. I mean, be in health even as your soul prospers. So God wants us to be healthy in order for us to reach our full potential. So that's really my message when I talk to, especially males. I let them know about their legacy, how long you want to be here for, and how we can use your health, be able to extend your years so that you can make a greater impact.
Outstanding. How does somebody get in touch with you?
So you can reach me at, you can go to healthytaste.net.
Here we go.
And my cell phone number is there. If you want to email me at gabriel.mcclover@fitchallenge.com. Or if you want to reach us at the restaurant, it's vineyardvegcafe@gmail.com. And we do travel. We go to different cities. We're really excited about what the Lord has placed in our possession.
Hope to see you at that restaurant sometime soon.
Yes.
Wish you every success. God bless you. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Outstanding. And thank you for joining us. This has been a lot of fun. I hope you're encouraged and that you'll move forward knowing that God can make a difference in you or through you. I'm John Bradshaw. My guest has been Gabriel McClover. This has been our conversation brought to you by It Is Written.